So SJR 4 and SB 3, which I would think most folks are here for those two bills, they will not be ready today. The amendments should be ready at about 4:30, is what we're told, and we'll have them in LRO, and let's make them available in the Senate President's office. So we'll have them in the Senate President's office and in Legislative Revenue at 4:30. Then we will reconvene on that bill at 9 a.m. on those two bills, 9 a.m. tomorrow here. Conflict with anyone? No. Okay, so we'll reconvene at 9 a.m. here. So if those are your bills, council has them. We don't have them. Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 754. Chris.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 754 creates a new credit that allows social workers who are employed by a public body or nonprofit organization providing public assistance to Oregonians for at least 6 months of the year to receive a credit for interest paid on student loans borrowed to pay for a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree in social work at an institution accredited by the Council on Social Work Education. It sets a limit on the credit based on the population of the area in which the qualified person is working. If the county has a population of less than 10,000, the credit is up to 2,000. The credit is $1,500 if the population in the county is between 10,000 and 100,000. And for those counties where the population is greater than 100,000, the credit is capped at $500. And applies to tax years beginning on or after January 1, 2007.
Mara Roach and her team. No, Mara. She is coming. She's moving. Cam, why are you here? Trying to figure out what the nexus is between community college and thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. My name is Maura Roach, and I represent the National Association of Social Workers, and we want to thank you very much for this hearing here today. I have with me Mark McKechnie, our legislative chair, who's going to provide some testimony.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Thank you very much for having this hearing this afternoon. For the record, my name is Mark McKechnie. I'm the legislative chair for the National Association of Social Workers Oregon chapter. And we've brought to you Senate Bill 754A, which is an attempt to help social workers in the field serving the most vulnerable citizens of our state, particularly those working in rural and frontier areas of the state, better manage the student loan debt that they're carrying, which we're hearing from our membership is increasing as the cost of higher education continue to increase. Unfortunately, at the same time, salaries in the field have remained rather flat. I'm not going to read my written testimony for you, but I just wanted to point out a few points, and I would be glad to answer questions about the description of the bill, but I believe you got a very good description of what the bill does. But I wanted to point out the chart in the back of your yellow packet, which shows this is 2004 data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. But this compares median salaries of social workers compared to other professions that have comparable educational requirements. In one case, for example, paralegals, they may have actually lower educational requirements.
Yeah.
But most of these fields include workers who are required to have at least a bachelor's degree, in many cases a master's degree. And you can see that social workers, particularly those working with children and families and in mental health, in the public sector have very low median salaries. And I especially want to make the point that these are median salaries, meaning half the people in these professions are making less than this amount. These are not starting salaries.
These are median salaries,
yes, with a master's degree. So you can see and contrast that with the amount of student loan debt that social workers take on as they earn their bachelor's degrees and master's degrees in order to enter the field. In surveying our members and students currently in school studying social work, 78% had or expected to have student loan debt of $20,000 or more as they were leaving their degree program. More than a quarter expected to have student loan debt of over $40,000. And I've also provided in the white packet testimony from three social work students, and you can see that their debts are even higher, $57,000, $70,000, and $40,000. And these are students who, especially the one who has a $70,000 debt, would expect to have a starting salary that's less than half of that amount. I wanted to say that we understand that this bill will impact the state's revenue, and there are competing interests in terms of trying to adequately fund human services and other services. But we believe this is an effective mechanism to provide some relief to social workers who are working on the front lines of the field, working in underfunded human services, who have high educational requirements and low pay, even compared to other professions like teachers and school psychologists and others who are serving the public and also have to have the same kinds of education. But even compared to those groups, social workers have far lower salaries and still carry much the same debt. So I would be happy to answer any questions that you have about the bill or our intent. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you for sticking around. I don't know if you've had a chance to leave Salem today. I know you were here this morning, and so I'm glad we thank you for sticking around for the morning and hopefully not too long this afternoon. Questions for this panel? Sir Monroe.
You're having trouble getting students to actually direct themselves toward clinical social work?
Senator Monroe, members of the committee, I think there are two aspects. One is recruitment and one is retention. I think recruitment is the larger issue in the rural areas and the frontier areas, attracting qualified social workers to rural counties and rural areas, especially the areas that are outside of the I-5 corridor. So part of the intent is to help attract qualified social workers to those areas by offering a greater tax credit incentive, so that, you know, many of us make choices early in our careers when we're exiting school that impact where we end up the rest of our lives. So we're hoping to encourage more social workers to settle in small communities with the idea that they would probably tend to stay once they're there, but attracting them there in the first place is part of the goal. And then I think even in the urban areas across the state, retention is a bigger issue in public services. I personally have worked in the mental health field. I currently work with children who cross over several public systems, child welfare, juvenile justice, mental health, education, special education, developmental disabilities, and the turnover rates of the practitioners who serve those children is appalling. Their caseworkers change frequently. Therapists that are serving children who have issues about trusting adults in the first place come and go because the pay is so low. And so some enter the field in the public service, but then after they have a year or two of experience under their belts, they will move on to more lucrative positions, perhaps in the private sector. Some leave the field altogether because they simply can't manage with the debt they've accumulated. I know one social worker who is a year behind me at Portland State who ended up in real estate only a couple years out of school. And that's not uncommon that some social workers just leave the field because they can't afford to stay.
And they're well educated. Senator George.
Mark, you mentioned that this bill will have cost to the state, but it appears to me that we have two choices. We either help you in this arena, or we better pay you a decent wage. I mean, I see either one of them are going to cost the state money because we don't pay enough money here. It appears to me that you can pay the debt off in a normal way with your wages. So I'm seeing a cost either way we go. And so I'm saying this is, I thank you that you would take this approach rather than forming a union and demanding more money.
Don't kill me again.
Thank you.
No comment on that.
This is where Maura gets involved. Other questions? Chris, any idea on, I know you gave us a little bit, just fiscal impact, and I think you had a question for our staff on that.
Senator Decker, we talked before the hearing, and my understanding is there is not a revised revenue estimate because this is not a work session. It hasn't been scheduled for a work session yet.
Mr. Chair, I had earlier in the session before it was
revised.
Before it was revised and even over here, I had put together a draft revenue impact, and that was at about $3 million a year, but that estimate is very high.
Mm-hmm.
And that was based on some incorrect information that I have. I didn't have a clear definition of an idea or understanding of who would be affected by this, so I went to the BLS and grabbed some data from them and kind of, in fact, made an estimate based on that. And then in subsequent communications, came to realize that my starting point for the number of people who would be affected by that was much higher. So at this point, all I can say is that it's a lot less than $1.5 million a year.
A lot less than?
A lot less than. I mean, $1.5 million a year that I started with was substantially higher because I was starting with too many people that would be able to take the credit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything further?
No, I think that covers it. We appreciate you hearing this bill this morning, and I guess sort of a comment based on Senator George's comment I would make is that we did, because it can be challenging in the human services budget to increase funding, especially the increases that would be needed to get us back where we were before the recession would be very large and much larger than they will be this session. And also when funds are allocated for services, it filters down through layers of administration, and we felt that this was one way to get some funding directly to the people who need it the most in the direct service positions to encourage the most experienced people to stay, encourage the most qualified people to enter the public sector and help them manage their loans and be able to do what they really want to do and do it longer.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We do thank you very much for the service you work with probably very inspiring and challenging clients. And I think all of us just thank you for the work that y'all provide. We will start working on, and I always, we've done no tax credits at all this session. We're going to start looking at them, I think, towards the end of the next week. We've been looking in terms of public hearings, but we'll be more formally looking at them towards the end of next week, if not then the very beginning of that following week. And that would be our time to revisit. It is a tough list to make. There's probably 80 or 90, I think, introduced, and I'm not sure we'll do more than 5 or 6, maybe 7. So it's just a tough list. But by having a hearing, at least you're at least in the game. If you haven't had a hearing, I would encourage anyone that might be listening that if they haven't and they're interested in a credit, you'd want to try to get a hearing, or at least that gets you beyond the first hurdle.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Anyone else on Senate Bill 754?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'm just appalled that these people earn far less than even teachers. I mean, they make almost as bad as legislators.
Yeah.
Get a tax credit for... We can give ourselves a tax credit for... close. That's right. Have something to subtract against. Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 754, and we're adjourned until what, 9 a.m. tomorrow in Hearing Room A for SJR 4 and SB3.
Yeah.
We're adjourned.